Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin'.
Welcome, everybody. We appreciate you listening to us each and every week. We're coming to you from Austin, Texas, and parts around the country. We've got listeners from all over the country dialed in and listening to us today. We thank you so much for being a part of this program. It's a first-of-a-kind radio program dedicated to keeping mortgage and housing and real estate professionals informed about all that is going on in the industry. And foreclosures are taking the headlines right now. And I'll tell you, we'll be talking about that a little bit later. We've got a special guest today, Margaret Kelly, who's president and CEO of RE/MAX, and her company trains over she manages operations worldwide. I'm so excited to have Margaret on the program a little bit later on. And again, thank you goes out to all of our listeners across the country. A special thank you goes out to our Housing Matrix listeners that are dialed in as a result of our affiliation with Housing Matrix. We appreciate it so much. Be sure to go to Lickin' on Lending, www.lickinonlending.com. It's hosted in the Housing Matrix website. In that website, in that Lickin' on Lending page, you will see a place where you can go register and put in your information. We will send you weekly updates about upcoming guests and program information. Also, check out the rest of the resources there on their website. Without further ado, let's go into what we do each and every week. We start off by discussing what is going on in the world of interest rates. Joe Farr of MBS Quote Line is diligent and faithful to bring it to us each and every week. Joe, what's going on out there?
Hey, Dave. It seems like every week I say this, the MBS prices are up, mortgage rates are getting better. We're up about 11:30 seconds on the day. I know, but it's a nice one. You know, at least it's not going the other way.
You play that record over and over.
Today we're up a little more than actually what we lost on Friday. We were down a little bit last Friday. This morning, industrial production came out. It was a little lower than expected. Be quite honest, though, the market was up prior to then. Ordinarily weaker than expected information would cause the market to rally, but the market was up prior to that. Right now, as I mentioned, we're up 11:30 seconds on the day. Part of the industrial production measure is called capacity utilization, and it is an indicator of likely impact of price changes on inflation. And that measure is very low, as is inflation. So, that was favorable for mortgage rates as well.
Last week we had a focus on what the Feds were doing. Give us an update on what's happening there.
You know, last week and each of the last few weeks since the September 21st Fed meeting, and really even before that, a lot of the focus has been on what the Fed will do regarding quantitative easing. In the September 21st meeting, they hinted that they were going to, and since then we've seen other than last week, which we had a slight increase in rates. Every week after the 21st, we had a reduction in rates, much as people were expecting this quantitative easing to take place. And so, the hints there that it's going to be done, the market has expected that it's going to be done, and several speakers have been talking about it, but no one's providing any real details. So that's kind of where we're looking for now. The economic news during the week didn't have much influence on the market. The important inflation information came out. PPI came out. I think that was on Thursday, and CPI was on Friday. Core CPI was rose at an annual rate of 0.8%, and that's the lowest in the last 49 years.
Wow!
And you know, the ordinarily low rates are good for mortgage rates, and you know, this is so low now. The discussion at the Fed's turned over from how to control inflation to how to, you know, increase inflation.
Stimulate. Really, look, the deflation, the D word is out there and haunting.
Well, that would be very concerning. You know, the Fed likes to have inflation somewhere between 1.5% and 2%. We're well below that, and so that further supports the quantitative easing thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Really, Andy, this week, what do we've got coming up on the economic calendar?
You know, really very little on the economic calendar. Housing starts comes out tomorrow and the Philly Fed on Thursday. Yeah, the more important thing is going to be more Fed officials speaking. In fact, the Atlanta Fed President Lockhart speaking right now, and I've seen a few headlines coming across the CNBC banner, and I think he's saying things that are causing people to certainly not to reduce their expectations of what might come from the Fed program for quantitative easing. So been kind of friendly both ways for mortgages and for stocks. You know, the details, we kind of expect the details to be known. You know, the next Fed meeting is the 3rd of November, and so 2 weeks from now. And, you know, a lot of people have talked to that as being the time that the Fed's going to implement or to make the market more aware. You know, over the next 2 weeks, don't be surprised if you start hearing some indication of how much. I mean, the question is not when, not if, but when
if, but
how and
much.
How much and how long.
Yep.
So,
yep.
No, that's going to be an impact. The market has a substantial quantitative easing priced into it, at least I think stock market has, as well as the mortgage market. But it's got a substantial amount priced into it, and yeah, so we'll see if the market, if things happen the way they expect.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Our guest today, Margaret Kelly, is on the board of directors for the Denver branch of the Federal Reserve Bank. I know she can't talk anything about it and can't comment on it, but it certainly would be nice to be able to take a deeper peek into what really are the fears out there. We're seeing, in fact, your point to the fact that inflation is this low that they're now in the look at it is, should we stimulate a little inflation? Would that be healthy? I think that means somewhere in there, there's got to be some fear that the D word, the deflation, could be out there and haunting us in a bigger way. And that's something, folks, we do not want to have to deal with. You're going to want to stay tuned for the rest of the program. We got Margaret Kelly, President and CEO of RE/MAX International, with us as a guest a little bit later on the program. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to mbsquoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
mbsquoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to say a special thank you to Andy Alvey, who is so significant in making this radio program sound as professional as it does. He's our executive producer. He's our producer. He does everything, guys. We're just out here giving updates. And related to our producer is Alice Alvey, president of Mortgage U, giving us the weekly update of everything that goes on across the country. And that's so significant. You know, Alice, you and your staff just do an amazing job of digesting literally thousands and thousands of pages. And I know this upcoming conference that we're going to be at next week in Atlanta, the National Mortgage Banking Conference, is going to be discussing a lot of the issues that you cover here each and every week. And if people would just tune in each week and listen to the mortgage update, man, they'd be going to the conference feeling on top of it instead of being blindsided like it. Alice, take it away. What's going on? You got a Dodd-Frank update?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dave.
Well, and we shouldn't forget to mention that you'll be speaking at that conference and covering you should tell listeners a little bit about what you're speaking on.
I'll do that. Well, okay, you opened the door for that. Well, thank you. That wasn't in the script. I appreciate it. Speaking at the conference on growth strategies, growing your business in a down market. Growth strategies in a down market is what I'm speaking at, and that is Monday morning at 11 o'clock at the conference center. If you're there, come on, tune in. Okay, thanks, Sal.
You're welcome.
Back to you.
Well, I'm going to be doing a session with Pete Taglia and Tom Milan.
Oh, that's right, you are, yeah.
The panel discussion there. So hopefully, you know, like you said, you walk away with a lot of good information we'll be able to share with listeners after that. But for now, for this week, what I want to make sure we do is provide everyone, you know, we've got to have our regular Dodd-Frank update for everyone. So just the piece this week, keeping in mind that we are looking at hopefully getting, clarity. We know that Fannie in particular, has issued their guidance regarding appraiser independence. So HBCC officially goes away this week, and we have now that Fannie and Freddie essentially have adopted everything within that. It's no longer this separate law or separate litigation that was settled between those entities. It is now policy we all have to follow and soon to be federal law out of the Dodd-Frank Act that impacts everyone. So companies that didn't sell direct before now have to follow this. I think fundamentally they're both the same. They're very similar.
Yeah.
But there are some nuances, most importantly being identifying what is a reasonable and customary fee to pay an appraiser, and that is something that each of the AMCs in particular is going to be looking at going forward. So lenders will want to get all of their providers to recertify that they are in compliance with these new requirements. Also, give you an update on the House bill that I think is nuts, frankly. I don't know how else to say it. We have the Housing Opportunity and Mortgage Equity Act. It's H.R. 6218 that was introduced at the end of September there. As I was reading through this, it was just it's requiring Fannie and Freddie to give everybody a refi, if I were to give the short version. Requires Fannie and Freddie to offer every mortgagor a qualified mortgage, and this would include going up to a 40-year term. It would basically
start
for 1 year. They want that Fannie and Freddie would offer no fee refinances. Can you imagine that?
I cannot.
You work for free? Is that what they're trying to tell us? Now, they say that they would pay the servicer $1,000 for each transaction. The lender and Fannie and Freddie would be required to waive prepayment penalties, because those of you who remember out there, you might remember that there was a period of time there where Fannie and Freddie had a few products with some prepayment penalties as an option. And it also says that no appraisal would be required. You read this and you just go, okay.
That is unbelievable.
Sometimes you read some of these laws and you feel like, do they really understand what's going on in the industry? And is that a help or a hindrance? So that's H.R. 6218. We'll be watching that. Another big topic going on these days is this issue over private transfer fees. H.R. 6260, put out by Representative Waters, was introduced in the House trying to amend RASPA to prohibit collection of private transfer fees. Now, for those of you who might not be familiar with this, is we talk about that, you know, a homeowners association may have a transfer fee for ownership within the association. The problem is developers who put in these clauses that homeowners don't see when they purchase it. It's, you know, some of them are a 1% fee due every single time the ownership is transferred for 99 years. I mean, there's some very egregious, pieces in some of these documents. Many states, it depends on which article and which piece you read, if it's 12 or 18 states, have laws already that prohibit these types of transfer fees. So we're looking at trying to get a federal statute, the Washington Post was reporting that FIFA wants to prohibit Fannie, Freddie, and the Federal Home Loan Bank from purchasing loans with private transfer fees. Now that's problematic if it's a minor amount and it's not really impacting the marketability of the property. It's also problematic for people who are already in these mortgages, and that prohibition didn't exist before. So we're really trying to balance existing loans from new loans, where the Homeowners Association, so for those, it really applies to condos, had transfer fees that were had to be paid. To go along with that is another bill, H.R. 6332, that would require a disclosure if there are transfer fees. So two parts trying to go after this. Are they allowed in the first place? And secondly, at the very least, make sure people have a disclosure so they know what they're signing.
And we're talking about H.R. 6260, correct?
Yes, there's 6260,
nope.
Which is the prohibition of the transfer fees, but then
right.
6332 is for the
6332.
Disclosure. Yeah.
Dear God, I've got to keep, you know, it's a scoreboard to keep track of all this, I tell you.
I have an Excel spreadsheet. I know, it's crazy. And then, you know, so we have the other bill that is a program in FHA. Now there's a House bill that would open up for FHA to create a shared equity program. This was interesting. Private investor money, shared equity, just like it sounds. The home buyer would keep at least 60% of the equity, but the investors and other parties would be investing essentially in your real estate with you for refis and purchases. The bill's pretty thin on facts, so we're going to watch it closely.
That's interesting.
FHA embraces it.
Well, you know, what would be interesting about, when you think about it, Alice, when this market starts coming back, we have to bookmark that one because we want to talk to Margaret about that, see if that is something that she thinks would be a great idea when the market real estate economy takes off. Sorry to interrupt you, but I think that would be an interesting discussion. Go on.
I think
I'm sorry.
So, too. Yeah. It's always worth trying to talk about what the pros and cons are of these programs might be. And what the heck the senator or representative was thinking at the time they came up with it. we also have now a House bill and a Senate bill that passed to amend the Fair Credit Reporting Act that would exclude medical collection accounts from the credit report if they've been paid or settled. So this is getting closer to being signed. We're also watching an FHA proposed rule that came out October 8th that is going to expand the requirements for those who are in the lender insuring program. It's going to make it a little tougher to get into it. It cleans up some procedural issues, but those are probably one of the most important things is this proposal is going to allow FHA to issue indemnification agreements even if a loan is performing for up to 5 years. And it was funny that they referenced a short period of time. I thought that was a long period of time.
That's a long period of time from a mortgage banker's standpoint.
Yeah,
absolutely.
From a repurchase standpoint, I mean, do you see repurchases going that far out on some of your on any other investor for 5 years on a performing loan?
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that is definitely a proposed rule people need to respond to. Comments are due by December 7th, so make sure you get out there and respond. We have multiple other bills that we're watching for you, but those are the ones with activity on them for this week.
Wow. I got to come back to, what was it, H.R. 6218, Housing Opportunity. Who introduced that crazy bill?
Oh, you know what? I don't have that in front of me. I have the name in front of me. I did not put that on my
All I can say is Tuesday, November 2nd is just around the corner, folks. Get out and vote and note some of the who is sponsoring some of these crazy, crazy, insane things. Alice, anything more that you've got for us?
You know, those are the big things for now. We're going to keep watching the rest for you. Stay tuned for future programs.
That's like there's 150 horses in the race. We're just trying to keep track of the top ones, the latest ones that are coming out. This is just unbelievable, folks. And we do want to come back, bookmark that. We want to come back and talk about the one regarding 6256, the equity share program of the market when we come back. Folks, we'll be right back. We do have Margaret Kelly, CEO of RE/MAX, with us, and we'll be coming up with that right after the Profit Doctor segment, which is next. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. Each and every week we try to help fix what's ailing your bottom line. And there's no one better to do that than my business partner, a great friend, and one smart guy when it comes to economics. You guys know, you listeners out there, do you know that Andy Schell, our very own profit doctor, was training other CPAs and has now been invited to fly to Las Vegas to train anybody that's doing auditing work of the mortgage industry? I got to tell you, we're sitting here with someone who is humble in nature, but has got a lot of information to share with you. And Andy, I'm really interested in today's segment because we have so many realtors on the call as a result of having Margaret be a part of the program. And so I love some of your notes as I went over. Take it away, Profit Doctor.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate the kind words. I'm glad you got the check from my mom.
Yeah, it always tells some parents right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Dave, the profit doctor, you know, why do we call it the profit doctor? Well, partly because business health and physical health follow similar rules. You know, for our health, we're supposed to exercise, we're supposed to eat well, which, by the way, I need you to help hold me accountable to do those things. So we're going to eat
we
well,
both
we're going to exercise,
dessert.
We're going to measure our health, we're going to check our blood pressure, our temperature, we're watch our weight and the cholesterol, and we do all of these things, and we measure our progress to measure our health, but what about our business? You know, for our business, we need to do these things too. We need to do the right things, and we need to measure the results. So let's talk about this from a business perspective. Well, first off, is physical health is being in good shape? Is good physical health just random? Does it just sometimes happen to people, or sometimes it doesn't? You know, it seems to me that.
I know the answer to that, and I don't like the answer.
Well, yeah, if we eat a lot of chocolate cake and smoke and drink, we'll be in worse health than if we don't do those things. So we have a significant control over our health. It's a choice.
Oh, man, that's called accountability. Yikes. All right, go on.
You know, we've got to figure out a way to make chocolate not be bad for you. But if we eat nothing but chocolate, we'll gain weight. So being healthy is a choice. So for the most part, in business, the same thing applies. In business, it's not just random. There are ways to control our behavior that drive success. And you can look at the ways that successful companies run and model your business after that, and you too could be successful. It's like the Small Business Administration, the SBA, tracks the activity of small businesses all around the country. And the SBA says that 10% of small businesses succeed because they have good planning and good financial management. So the converse of that is that 90% don't succeed because they don't have good planning and good financial management.
That's
right. So the trick is, let's have good planning and good financial management. So what's one of the bottom line formulas for success? Well, we want to have more revenue and less expense, so we have more profit. It's like, you know, revenue is like bowling. We want to have a high score. And expenses are like golf. We want to have a low score so that you end up with a profit. More revenue, less expense, that makes a profit. Sounds simple. Now, here's the trick. It's more to it than that, and here's one of the key issues to have. If you have organizational discipline and an unwavering focus to drive profitability, you're most likely going to make money. But it takes organizational discipline and an unwavering focus. So this unwavering focus to drive profitability encompasses everything that we do. It should drive what we do every minute of every day of our work week. And we're going to call this driving ROI, driving return on investment. And it's measured both in time and money and conversations and dollars and expenses and profit. Profit results in a positive return on investment. So everything ROI. Every expense must tie to a revenue that generated activity. And this can sometimes be difficult to do, but for the most part, just keep in mind we're focusing on measuring so that we're always, any phone call we make, any phone call we take, any person we drive around to look at houses, we want to be focusing on, is this activity driving revenue? And there's a couple of quick things I'll touch on about just businesses in general. As we keep in mind ROI, we want to be efficient, effective, and economic in all the things that we do, and we want to have the right people doing the right things at the right time. So Those things
that's
are really important.
Your E3 and your R3. I love those. We've talked about those before. That's good.
Yeah, efficient, effective, economic, right people, right things, right time. It's amazing how simple that is, but it's amazing if you apply that to a business, the kind of results that you can get. When we go around the country working with other businesses, one of the first things we check are these things, and if someone's not doing well, it's because these things aren't in alignment. It's kind of like when you go to the chiropractor to fix your back, every once in a while I'll hear you say, gotta go crack my back. Well,
yep.
That's the same thing for a business. You got to keep your business in alignment with all the elements that come to drive profitability. So as I start to head toward wrap-up here, Dave, we'll talk about process management and capacity management just for a second. You know, think of your business as a factory. Our goal is to quickly move prospects in and out, ending with a loan and a house. Now, whether if you're a mortgage broker, a real estate broker, real estate agent, mortgage bank, it's all the same. You want prospects to come in, and out comes a loan with people ending up buying a house. And we want to do these things with as few people touching the process as possible, and we want it done perfectly every time and no errors. So the perfect goal would be only talk to people who directly or indirectly make you money. So if all of your activity is focused around making you money, then you'll end up making more money. So now a big factor that impacts this is what we'll call soft costs. So without getting into that real deeply, they're difficult to detect and they can steal efficiency. But it's the friendly phone call from a friend, and it's deciding to spend the extra 30 minutes for lunch. And it starts with little bitty things, and it turns into be big things that take away time and effort and money from being able to drive revenue, which is the focus of what we got to look at. So as I wrap up here, Dave, I know you and I enjoy movies, and one of the movies almost everybody's heard about is The Field of Dreams.
One of my favorites.
Yep. Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. Now, in the movie, Kevin Costner has a cornfield. Well, a cornfield drives revenue, and he destroys the cornfield to build a baseball diamond because he's pursuing a relationship. He's pursuing a relationship with his father, and he hears the, if you build it, they will come, meaning build a ball field and they will come, not realizing that they would be his father. Well, we face it all the time in business. We spend our time to make a living. Our goal is to make a living by making money and making money in our business. So we spend our time and our resources to build a business that makes revenue that's more than our expenses. So we want to don't spend time on money unless we have a quantified expectation of a positive ROI. So if we do something, we want to have a realistic expectation that something good is going to come from it. So don't spend time cutting down a cornfield unless you have the revenue to replace it. In business, we want to focus on revenue. Now, you know, Dave, there's no magic to success. Sometimes luck helps. But for the most part, success is driven by implementing a sales strategy that drives revenue while holding down costs, so you end up at the end of every hour,
right,
day, week, or month with a profit. So we need to measure every minute, hour, and implement an organizational discipline with an unwavering focus on driving profitability, and we'll end up with successful business.
You know what? You always bring us right into the most toughest parts of things. Operational discipline for me. You brought up desserts, driving profitability. I think of my drive the last time I played golf, and we don't want to go there. It will not be good. But that's excellent, Andy. Thank you so much. Any last parting comments?
No, thanks, Dave. I look forward to hearing the rest of the show.
Yeah, great. Appreciate it so much. Folks, we'll be right back. And remember, we've got Miss Margaret Kelly. I just want to reverse that. Margaret Kelly, CEO of RE/MAX, joining us right after this break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to
enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dave Lickin with Lickin on Lending, and we are so blessed and honored to have Margaret Kelly, President and CEO of RE/MAX International, joining us today. Margaret joined RE/MAX as a financial analyst in 1987, so she's been around there for a little while. She had a passion and has a passion to make a difference, one of my favorite slogans that we have got to do in this industry, make a difference. As a result, she rose through the ranks, and today she oversees all worldwide operations for RE/MAX, and we're so excited to have her. In addition, this is really interesting. I was alluding to this earlier in Joe's comments, but in January of this year, Margaret was appointed to the board of directors of the Denver branch of the Federal Reserve Bank. Very honorable position. I know you can't talk about what's going on behind closed doors, but boy, would we like to know. And also, she is popular to give insights and as a resource on what's going on in real estate trends. We're going to get into that and some of her talking points. She speaks before industry groups across the United States and is frequently interviewed in the media. I think she's got as many appearances as I do out there. She's also quoted in, oh, by the way, she was, this I'm not accomplished yet, she's a CEO guest anchor on CNBC's Power Lunch, one of my favorite programs, and she was also quoted in the Associated Press, Bloomberg, Reuters, my goodness, it goes on and on. You'll love this, Alice, she grew up in Detroit, and she received a Bachelor's of Administration in Finance from Walsh College in Troy, Michigan, a fine school. I've been on campus one time, and it's just a nice part of the country. She also received a doctorate, honorary doctorate, law degree, when she returned to her alma mater to deliver a commencement address, and that happened in 2006. Boy, Margaret Kelly, you have been one busy person. We're so glad to have you on the program today. We appreciate your being here.
Thank you so much. I am excited to be here. I'm smiling as you go through all that. I kind of went, wow, I have done quite a few things.
It's nice to do that. I actually read that to my daughter, 19-year-old daughter. I said, hey, let me give you a great example of someone who's gone out and achieved some things. Let's talk about some of the critical issues that are going on in the industry and nothing more being covered in the press. I was asked to be on Huckabee this last week. They postponed it because of the minor to talk about foreclosure. I was on with Neil Cavuto talking about this. I know you're talking about it a lot in the press. Nothing is bigger in the press right now than the foreclosure moratorium. What do you think? I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Well, it is a huge topic that has huge impact, obviously, in the industry, because really it affects both. Consumers and professionals are trying to figure out how this moratorium is going to impact them. I thought it was interesting. I've talked to some different lenders, and some of them don't use the word moratorium. They use pause. We're just taking a pause for a little bit. We're taking a pause to look at some things, because the moratorium they had before was a little longer. But, you know, the way we look at it is everyone absolutely is entitled to due process and fair consideration to have their documents looked at. But the entire process right now, we have to look at everything. My hope is that they can look at this quickly and get things moving along. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I want to drive to. Is this something that you see is a good thing for real estate sales, or is this a bad thing? And give us a perspective on either side of that issue, if you wouldn't mind.
And obviously there's both sides of the issue, but all in all, what it is the longer this goes on, the worse it's going to be for the housing recovery. Because, you know, I always say it's kind of like a pig in the python. You know, you got this big balloon of foreclosures that we have to get through the system and out and get sold. If they put this pause or this moratorium on it, obviously that balloon of the number of inventory is going to grow. So we need to approach this quickly. But the one thing on the moratorium is I was talking to one lender. over 50% of the foreclosures that they had were on people who had not made a payment in more than 18 months. So you know it was a justified foreclosure. We've got to move those through the system.
Exactly. Hey, as they say, amen, sister. As they say, couldn't agree with you more. We've got to get a move.
Other... Okay, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I wanted to...
We're
a little delayed here. I apologize for that. I don't mean to be speaking over that for Rudy, but it's a little bit of a delay in there. Go ahead and finish up your thought on that.
Just, I was going to say that the one thing on the consumer end of things, it isn't really fair to those who are making their payments and do everything they can to really allow others to sit in their homes for an indefinite period of time for free. And so we do need to solve this.
I'm so glad you made that point. Sometimes you feel unkind making this comment with all that's going on, but we've got a bigger issue to focus on. That's the economy and the economic recovery. Let's talk about that. Economic issues that are real estate, that are impacting the real estate the most, and what would you say they are today that are having the greatest impact?
The number one impact is unemployment.
You
cannot have an economic recovery until we get housing solved, and you can't solve housing until we get people employed. And the more we can get people out there employed, they're the ones that pay bills, they're the ones that buy and sell homes. That's the number one issue right now.
Is there anything other subordinate issues or less significant issues that we should be also, from your perspective, keeping an eye on?
In all of those kind of piggyback, but number one is consumer confidence is very fragile.
Yep.
If you look at it,
driven by unemployment.
It is, and you know, there's this term, gross domestic product, that people kind of glaze over when they hear it. But the one factor people need to know is on GDP, 70% of GDP is driven by consumer spending. If GDP is going down, it says consumers are not confident. They're a little leery right now of the economic recovery. They're saving their money. You know, savings rates are skyrocketing right now. And if you want one more issue, is what's going to happen with inflation/deflation. Also, is a consideration.
As Joe was commenting about that, and I know you can't go into it much as a result of being sitting in that behind those closed doors, but it's got to be a worrisome thing for many, many of the Fed governors out there. Without question. Let's talk briefly about latest sales figures. You see interest rates at the lowest ever, ever, ever. And why aren't sales moving higher?
Well, part of that is that consumer confidence again. People are saying, am I going to have a job? Am I going to be able to afford to buy a new home? You know, what's happening in the economy? The good thing, though, with sales is right now we see about 21% of our buyers are investors, and these are good investors. These are not the investors that bought a home, flipped it before there was a nail in a piece of wood. These are investors who want to buy, rent out the properties, and really make a difference in the areas in which they are investing.
Well, I think there's no question that consumer confidence is a big driving factor. I think the thing that's behind that, to see if you agree with this statement, is the fact that are we at the bottom of real estate prices yet? If, in fact, we're going to talk about shadow inventory in a moment, but if in fact, there's concern that, you know, the property value is going to drop somewhat more, then that could pull people off on that. So we can understand that. But we had Dirk Zeller on here last week, and I know you know Dirk, but he did a great job. At some point in time, if you're buying to hold, this is a great time to begin. In. We're close to the bottom, if not at the bottom in some markets. Let's look at the latest sales figures and price figures that you see in the market. What's going on out there?
Okay, so the National Association of Realtors hasn't released September figures, but REMAX, we do a 54 metropolitan area survey. The change from August of 2010, we're down 6% in number of transactions, but from September of 2009, so a year ago, we're down about 20%. Now, we don't annualize that or seasonality, but we knew there would be a drop because this is the time of year where things slow down anyway. But the interesting thing is, at the same time that there's a drop in transactions, prices have remained fairly stable, only a 2% drop from last month and less than 1% from a year ago. So that's a good sign that transactions may be slowing down because the tax credit went away and obviously fall, things start to fall or slow down a bit. But the good thing is if prices are stable, that's excellent. Plus the other piece of that is investors don't get into the market until they feel they're at the bottom of prices. We're at 20% investors right now, moving up to 25%. That's another good sign that we're probably at the bottom as prices.
Yeah, folks, if you're listening to this and you're wondering if you can talk someone into buying a home right now, those statistics are important. We're close to the bottom of this market. It's just we got to work through this foreclosure sin. Let's go back to the foreclosure issue for just a minute, Margaret. What trend do you see with foreclosures, and how much longer will it be a factor?
Oh, now that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I'll get my crystal ball out. But, you know, I could have answered that a little bit different a couple weeks ago. But now with this moratorium, I would say the majority of it is going to depend on how fast they can turn things over, get the process in place, and start moving those foreclosures and those properties into the market again. So it's a tough one to call right now. It totally depends on, are they able to move this process through quickly?
And it merely depends on something else. It's called this shadow inventory that could be out there. What are your beliefs about a shadow inventory? Is it a significant issue? If so, how big of an issue do you see it to be? And when will it hit the market?
It is an issue, no question. And shadow inventory, right now, in all the MLSs across the United States, there's about 4.5 million properties that are listed for sale. They estimate the shadow inventory, those properties that really are available to be sold but haven't been put on MLS, haven't been released out to be sold, anywhere from 2 to 4 million more properties. It is a big chunk of inventory.
It is.
So it's significant. Yeah. The other issue, though, is they cannot release those all at the same time. That would just have such a huge glut. So it has to be trickled out at appropriate pace. And the good thing is that realtors can handle this. They can get the buyers. They can move this along as we do it in an orderly fashion.
Especially at these interest rates with where they're at, and I tell you, it's encouraging. With this, I mean, we've got something that is forming to be a very exciting recovery, but we got to work through it. And you're right. We want to let the free markets behave as they need to, and we need to work through this, but in some type of controlled way without having that control coming from government intervention is hopefully the way it'll be. Folks, we've got Margaret Kelly, President and CEO of RE/MAX, joining us. She runs operations, and her passion is to make a difference, and we trust that her being on this program today is doing just that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
We appreciate so much PMI being a sponsor of the radio program, and as well as Rob Katz of our friends at Del Mar Data Track. And Rob brings us an update of what it didn't make our program, but is notable news. Rob, what do you got for us this week?
I found a very interesting blog by Eve Smith that I'm going to start to follow at www.nakedcapitalism.com. I recommend the posting from October 6th called Rules of Law versus Bank Profits, Mortgage Fraud Edition. It is a fairly long posting with several links to prior posts. It essentially is digging into the complexities of foreclosures across the secondary markets related to GMAC's inappropriate paperwork handling that has led to GMAC, Chase, and B of A suspending foreclosures. There are several references to these problems just being the tip of the iceberg. Again, you can find this blog at www.nakedcapitalism.com. On a different note, Dave Gilson had an article in the September-October issue of Mother Jones that breaks down congressional seats according to their major business sponsors. In both the House and the Senate, the largest collection of seats were funded by the finance, insurance, and real estate industries. Although this article isn't directly related to the mortgage space, I wanted to share it because it so clearly illuminates the influence special interest groups have on our politics. You can find this article called Who Owns Congress? A Campaign Cash Seating Chart online at MotherJones.com. Those were the stories that caught my attention this past week for the Mortgage Minute. This is Rob Katz with DMD, and I'll be back next week with the news I think you should know about.
Thank you, Rob. I love that. Who owns Congress? Well, let's find out what it's going to look like after November. It could be a little bit different. I appreciate so much, Rob, you bringing that. Go on out and check the Rob Katz's and then DMD Del Mar DataTracks website by going to www.dmdinc.com. D is in Del Mar. Well, anyway, dmdinc.com. You guys can get to it. Folks, we're blessed to have Margaret Kelly again to be with us, President and CEO of RE/MAX International. And I love so much of what she's written about, and there's some things that I want to get into, but I want to bring Alice back on because, Alice, one of the things you touched on in your segment is the FHA Shared Equity Program. And I know, Margaret, we might be just hitting you with this. I'd love to get your response, and Alice, if you could go into that a little bit, and then a couple of questions related to any hot spots in the market. Alice?
Well, it is just a proposal, so it's missing a lot of detail, but the idea that you would have private parties, private investors, so to speak, involved in the equity of a home in order to facilitate the transaction. So the customer, you know, from what little we can pick up on, would still have to have their minimum investment requirement. This is additional investment in the equity of the home. So almost like, in a sense, a similar participation. It's within the purchase of a home.
And then, so who would get the private investor? Would it be the home buyer, or would it be that through a mortgage lender bringing that private investor in?
Well, they don't really mention that. You know, obviously in a proposed rule, they're just going to try and say to FHA, you would have authority to try and create this program, and from the verbiage that's in there, it's the private market. So obviously anybody who can jump in and try and get that source, obviously an arm's length, right? We would assume that they're not bringing back down payment assistance programs.
Right. Yeah, exactly. or is this more like a loan from mom and dad?
right.
To help get you started, basically.
Yeah. Well, it's very much a small pilot.
And I wonder if this isn't an opportunity for those investors that can't afford to go out and buy up, you know, distressed assets or these foreclosures as they come to market, but they say, you know what, I'd be willing to get on board and help finance or get behind and provide down payment or some type of financing to a first-time buyer or a buyer that's wanting to get in the market, and then they have some upside. That, I think that has the potential of when this market does recover to have some real potential to help, you know, get more people involved. I think that's part of it, Margaret, that I saw as a potential.
I agree with you. Anything that can help get homeowners into the home, but again, it's all in the details, and what happens between the devil's in the details, as they say. It's all in the agreement between the private investor and the homeowner. But if it makes sense and it gets some people into this market, I'd be for it.
Alice, back to you. I'm sorry for jumping in there, but I had to
I think it's an interesting idea because certainly anything FHA does is going to structure to be owner-occupied, and this, like you referenced, Dave, opens up the opportunity for someone to assist them in that financing. It would only be, according to the proposed rule, they would just select 8 individuals and entities to select for a pilot, so we don't want to get everybody all excited about it yet. So I guess I have a question for you, Margaret. You know, since you have such a global perspective on the real estate market, and in particular the U.S., are there any bright spots?
There are some great bright spots. I think the number one bright spot of the entire housing is it's a phenomenal time to buy. You know, we talked about a little earlier, low interest rates, inventory to pick from, prices that are stable. It is an incredible time to buy. And I think back, my parents were born in 1919 and 1920, and they kept talking about the Depression as they were growing up, and their parents all saying, oh, if we had only bought this, and this, then could you imagine? Well, I say the same thing right now. People should jump in because prices aren't going to go that much different. And even if they do, so it goes down a little bit, you still have an incredible opportunity on the upside of this. So, number one, it's a great time to buy. And number two, there are a lot of markets that didn't experience, you know, that skyrocketing growth, so they didn't experience the decline either. And there were some very, very stable markets out there. So despite foreclosures going on and a few other things, it still is a great time to buy, and there's still opportunity to sell.
And I agree with you. It's a shame that there's so much press out there that focuses on just the investment aspect as opposed to just as opposed to the home ownership side of it. And we do, you know, there are a few folks out there who are saying what you're saying and encouraging that home ownership has value. You know, it's not just about are you going to get a 25% of return on your money in a year, which is what unfortunately one generation got used to. So I agree with you. I think it's a great time to buy. So what is RE/MAX doing as an organization to cope with the various markets that we're faced with right now?
Well, what our job is, what my job is, to look down the road and say, where do we see this industry going? Where do we see the markets? And so as we started to look down the road and we saw that we were going to see more and more distressed properties on the market, what we did is we encouraged our agents to become educated on how to handle situations like that. So 10,000 RE/MAX associates in 9 months alone earned the Certified Distressed Property Expert designation. And what that is that is our agents know exactly how to handle REOs, short sales, foreclosures. But the most important piece, that's the technical end. Here's the most important piece is we have taught our agents that they're not dealing with distressed properties. They're dealing with distressed families. And that's the important thing to get across because this is difficult. And although we can't necessarily save people and keep them in their homes, if we can help them do a short sale where their credit isn't dinged as much, as we can help them move and get them over into another rental property and move their home and save them, there's a lot to be said for that. So our agents are working hard in order to help distressed families cope with these situations.
Well, Margaret, hi, this is Andy Schaub. Well, it's great to have you on the show. And one of the things that's so impressive to me about RE/MAX is that one of the things in business is you want your brand to become recognized as the product, like Kleenex tissue, RE/MAX and Realtor. When you think about Realtor, you automatically think RE/MAX. What is it that makes RE/MAX such a great brand?
Oh, Andy, how much time have we got? Because I could go on this forever. Well, and I'll do it as quickly as I can. One is the quality of our agents. Our agents have more experience. They have more education. And what that means is more transactions. I like to say if you're going to have open-heart surgery, you're going to go to somebody who's only done it once or you're going to go to somebody who's done it hundreds of times. We are that real estate doctor, if you will, that do hundreds of transactions a year. As a matter of fact, in the industry, in 2009 alone, the average RE/MAX agent closed 13.5 transactions each. And our next closest competitor was around 7 transactions, and then it went down to from there. So we have experienced, well-educated agents out there. They do more business. And the other thing that's important that I kind of answered to Alice is we do training programs. We actually have online, on-demand, 24/7 education that helps teach our agents how to handle different situations, whether it's handling investors, handling short sales, REOs, or we can't forget there's still the traditional owner-occupied sale that happens out there too. And so, you know, you add all that plus our international presence, we're in over 85 countries, we've got a lot going for our brand.
That's amazing. That is so great to hear. You know, in mentioning time, we only have 6 minutes left on the show, so I'm going to throw it over to Joe for his question.
Well, great, because I know we've got a lot of realtors on the call today, and we've got a lot of lenders on the call, and I'd like to find out, because I come from the lending side, and, you know, we're kind of in a unique situation, a unique environment. What can lenders be doing to help, you know, you, your realtors to and the home buyers to make the home buying process go more smoothly?
Oh, there's a lot. You know, for lenders, what they need to do is look for the most experienced and best-trained agents out there. They can use portals like Equator and ResNet, who have ways to rank realtors to really be able to utilize them. Go out there and again, as a lender, look for the people who have got their SFR or their CDPE, you know, that know how to handle with the distressed properties and the REOs, because it is unique and there is so much paperwork to that that you don't want to slow down the process by not being able to have the correct education or the correct paperwork done. So there's a lot that that we can do out there.
I know you mentioned it earlier. Turnaround time, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months for the market. For the market to be to where we begin to report positive things.
I think the market.
Turn around?
You want my crystal ball again?
Yeah.
Well, I think that the market we have right now is probably the market we're going to have for another year to 18 months. Now, there are factors that go into that. Can we create jobs that will help grow? What they're doing, and I believe, Joe, you talked about it earlier, quantitative easing as far as are they going to increase inflation slowly, because inflation also helps drive the market in a positive way, because then home prices go up and values go up. So there's so many different factors that play into this. It really is quite a matrix of things, but I think I'll go back to a statement I made earlier is, the economy recovers when housing does, and housing will recover when we figure out how to get employment under control. And so number one thing is we need to create jobs.
It's got to come back to get the consumer confidence. It's only going to happen when we get people back to work. Margaret, you do so much for media. When are we going to see a new Margaret Kelly TV commercial? Anytime soon?
Well, we're working on it. You know, we're really proud. There's a time for fun commercials and to laugh a little bit about it, but there was a time to have a straight talk and say, here's what's going on in the market. I was honored to be able to do that for RE/MAX, and so we hope to continue with that and talk about what's going on in the market and be the straight talk authority out there to our consumers.
Well, you certainly have a great deal of credibility in the marketplace. So to Andy's point, you guys build a great brand, and we are honored and blessed to have you on the program today. Thank you so much, Margaret, for joining us. Love to have you back.
I would love it. It was a delight. Thank you.
We also got to maybe get you on one of the programs, the TV programs where we're interviewed. I love to have some shields up, some other people to taking some of the comments for when we talk about the foreclosures. Because boy, I tell you, you stand out there alone, you feel like you have rocks thrown at you when you bring up the foreclosure issue. Margaret, thank you so much, folks. We've been blessed to have Margaret Kelly, CEO of RE/MAX International, with us, and we just can't say thank you enough to Howard Voiles and his team there at Housing Matrix for making arrangements. Again, get out to that website, Lickin' on Lending, www.lickinonlending.com. Register for the weekly updates on our programs, who the next guests are. We've got a guest from PMI next week, as also from the Consumer Credit Counseling Service of San Francisco. Great program and a great partnership. We're talking about that next week on the program. And also, we're going to be at the conference next week. All of us will be at the conference there, except Joe. Joe's got to stay home. We've got to have someone here maintaining the shop. But the rest of us will be in Atlanta. If you're there, look us up. We'd love to talk to you. Thank you again so much for being a part of the program. Alice, Joe, and Andy, any closing comments? Alice?
Well, let's all keep an eye out for the markets and keep your head up. Like Margaret said, there's lots of positives and good things in the market today.
We see an opportunity. By the way, thank you, Alice. It was Alice called. He shot me an email. It's Dennis Cardoza, a Democrat from California, that introduced this Housing Opportunity Mortgage Equity Act. Again, wouldn't be surprised. Another Democrat's coming up a crazy program about giving everyone a mortgage. It's nuts. Anyway, thank you, Alice, for shooting that over to me. Joe,
Please
any parting comments?
Well, Dave, I think if people are listening, if they want to buy a house, if you're going to buy a foreclosure, don't go straight to the bank. Go through a realtor. They'll know the tricks and things to ask for.
Great point, Andy. Joe, you started saying something?
Well, if you're going to buy a house, you're going to get a low rate. My MPS prices are up a little higher. So
that's encouraging. Same old deal there. Rates are going lower. Everyone have a great week. We'll look forward to seeing you in the land if you're there. Otherwise, stay tuned. We'll be back next week at this same time.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Elby, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.